You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Jay Ricker. Along with me, it's Matt Cannon. Joe is out today with an illness. Hopefully, he will feel better very soon. Wishing him the best. But fortunately, guys, you're stuck with me and Matt. But hey, it should be a fun episode. We got a lot to talk about. The boys continuing to play very well, Lightning hockey. And Matt, perhaps the most important thing here is the stadium series. It is 5 days away. It is right around the corner. Beverly knows it. It's almost here. Stadium Series. Go Bolts. Yes, I am so, so excited for this game. But first and foremost, before we get everything, Matt, how you doing today, my friend?
I'm giddy. It seems like it is right here. 5 days. It's nothing from when it got announced. Like, it's here. I'm so ready. Still not sure if I can go. I'm going to try like hell to. Sorry, Joe can't be here. You know, we love having Joe on, but also it's always fun. You know, when we got the kids table episode, me and Jake like to go off the rails a little bit, especially on the topic of the stadium series as well. So we'll try to keep it on the rails a little bit for you guys, but we might have some fun too.
Yeah, a little bit. By the way, more reason to celebrate here. Look at this comment, Matt. Ethan, I'm proud to announce that Matt has converted me to a Lightning fan. Welcome, Ethan. I'm very happy to hear that. Welcome to the wagon, I should say, that the Lightning have been recently.
I got him off his Avalanche fanboy, you know, bandwagon. I still gave him a little bit of credit. I said you can't completely abandon them, but welcome to the Bolts fan base.
You are always welcome, Ethan. We are glad to have you here talking more Lightning hockey and part of the Lightning fan base. Well, with that said, Matt, I think it's time to jump right into it. By the way, welcome everybody in who is joining with us live. Don't forget to follow us on social media at RBR Sports, at RBR Lightning, so you do know when we go live. We try to go live on Mondays around 6 o'clock, but sometimes things go a little haywire, so make sure you follow us, ring that bell for notifications, all that good fun stuff, so you do know when we are live. If you're here with us too, don't forget, drop your comments down below like Ethan and Beverly have, and join the conversation. Love to hear what you guys have to say. Well, Matt, there's a lot to talk about, and let's start with the games before we get into some of the stadium series stuff, because there is a couple of new things that we have found out about the stadium series that I do want to talk about. But we got to start with some of these games for the Bolts and their streak of how they have been playing. I mean, it's been unbelievable hockey. Unfortunately, as we all know, the winning streak and point streak have come to an end at this point, which is unfortunate. But, you know, back at the San Jose game at the time, things were still rolling when it came to the point streak for the Bolts. They win this one big against San Jose by a final score of 4-1. And listen, the Sharks have not had the best of seasons, although, you know, they got some young sneaky guys and they're doing okay at times. But the Lightning have dominated the San Jose Sharks here in this season, a big win for them.
Yeah, this season specifically, but I was 0-2 against the Sharks in live settings, and I'm glad to say that I finally broke that curse. I was at this game and got to witness this.
Right, you were there.
Yes, I was. I'm glad they pulled out that 4-1 win, and I'm also especially glad that the Sharks the night before beat up on the Panthers 4-1. I don't know if you caught Bobrovsky and Alex Nedeljkovic fighting each other. That was it's always cinema seeing the Bruins fight.
It was all over the world. All over
the internet. Great. Seriously. But no, I mean, this was a really entertaining game, you know, from a fan's perspective. Didn't start out super great. Also, side note here, don't ever go to a Lightning game with my sister. I think we sat down with 5 minutes left to go in the first period. Like, there was somebody with a bird outside when we were walking up, and she had to go get a beer and food. I'm like, girl, the game is going. Like, come on, let's go. And eventually I was just like, okay, bye. I'm going without you.
Was the bird perhaps a parrot?
Yes,
because I saw this on the broadcast. They brought a parrot on, and Pat Maroon had the parrot on his shoulder. So I know this bird that you are referring to, because the Lightning pregame show has gone off the rails recently. But that was in reference to, of course, Pat Maroon being, I forget what the official term is.
Oh, but Joe would know it, but it's like Supreme Commodore something.
But he's leading the Gasparilla parade. So that was involved with that. That's why they had a parrot on his shoulder. But I know that bird. I know what you're talking about, Matt.
Well, good to know. I'm glad it. Okay, I'm glad it wasn't, you know, a complete waste of time. We got a famous bird on, you know, for a picture with my sister. So, no. Other than that, no, it was a really fun game. It started off a little shaky. San Jose, they were playing really well, and you know, you said they haven't had the greatest of seasons, but I think they've also underratedly had a good season. Like, you know, compared to where they were last year, I think they've already, you know, eclipsed their point totals from where they were last year, and they didn't make it easy until it did get a little easy, you know, into the second period. Oddly enough, the Lightning really did grab control of the game. You know, they did end up getting on the board first, but pretty much once they got that quick goal back, it really wasn't ever close after that.
Well, you look at some of the stats here and they're right on brand for these games. Shots were 20-23, about even, a small favor of the San Jose Sharks. Faceoffs, Lightning lose that category, 44% in the faceoff circle. But, hey, that's what Lightning have been doing all season long, and clearly, somehow, it is working for the team. Power play 0-for-1. You don't put too much talk into that in a game like this, but they played really well, like you mentioned, Matt, after that little bit of a shaky start, but then really controlled the rest of this game. The biggest controversy in this game, though, was Brandon Hagel, because – did he have a hat trick? Did he not have a hat trick? The poor fans in the building thought he had a hat trick, but the second goal was eventually changed. It was given to Anthony Cirelli. Anthony Cirelli and Brandon Hagel this week were back and forth on stealing each other's goals. don't know what's going on there, but Brandon Hagel unfortunately did not get the hat trick, although he did have a really good game overall.
He got the honorary hat trick. I think everyone in the building, because they never announced it either. Like, they never announced a score change or anything, which I think is kind of a little rude. I think, you know, okay, one goal, don't announce it if it gets changed. Two goals, like when you're on hat trick watch, maybe you should say something.
Yeah, you got to announce it. Poor fans are throwing their hats on the ice, which they're not, and those hats are not cheap. What's
exactly? Seriously, and I hope, you know, maybe the store honored, you know, what they do when you get a hat trick, and you know, they do what, half off hats or something. I would hope they did that. I didn't stick around to go, you know, browse the store or anything like that, but I would hope that's the case. But yeah, I mean, just what a game from Brandon Hagel. That was, you know, one of the many Brandon Hagel games this year. And it's still, you know, a little sad they gave it to Cirelli, but at the same time, who really cares? A goal's a goal. I know all the players, they feel that way for each other. I knew, I wonder if, you know, Hagel knew that the second goal got taken away, because the little sequence at the end there with Jake Guentzel, Brandon Hagel had a breakaway for the empty net and just passed it over to Guentzel, and Guentzel's like, no, take the goal. Like, I wonder if either of them knew that the goal got taken away. So,
well, those guys, you know, they always know what, or when it comes to empty net, they're always passing it back and forth.
Yes.
That's Nikita Kucherov. But I think he did know, though, because they showed on the broadcast after the fans were throwing hats down, they showed Hagel, and Hagel was chuckling a little bit. So I think he knew that he didn't have it. But the fans, of course, thought that he did, because it was, I can't believe they didn't announce him in the building. That's I think that's on the Lightning a little bit. You gotta know what's going on, and you've got to announce something like that. But it is what it is. Like you said, you're absolutely right. At the end of the day, goal's a goal. Those players don't really care. By the way, Beverly's got us covered here, even though Joe's not here. Grand Marshal, that is the term I'm looking for. Pat Maroon is the Grand Marshal for the Gasparilla Parade this upcoming Saturday. So thank you, Beverly, for helping us out there. So big win for the Bolts. They go when they take down the Sharks with relative ease, 4-1. And the point streak lives on as they continue to roll, Lightning continuing to win games. It seems like nothing can stop them. And then you go and watch this game against the Chicago Blackhawks, Matt, which Chicago, again, another team that's just not having great years recently. They've been better. Connor Bedard is definitely becoming one of their premier players in the NHL. But this was a goalie's duel, Matt. And, you know, this really reminded me of the St. Louis game in which the Lightning's win streak was ended. This was the St. Louis game, but the only difference was this time the Lightning came out on top in the shootout. Both goaltenders playing absolutely fantastic. And then we do need to talk about the shootout, because, boy, was that an entertaining shootout.
Yeah, it was – Ooh, this game was really stressing me out too, because it's like you were severely outplaying them, just like you were in that St. Louis game. Like, severely, the shot differential is crazy, and it's not even just the shots. Like, you're getting, you know, pretty good quality chances.
31-19, by the way.
Oh my gosh. And there were a lot of posts, a lot of misses. Arvid Soderblom, despite him only letting up, you know, one actual regulation goal, like, I didn't think he was that great, you know, despite the shot totals. Like, you know, Gage Gonsalves, he missed a wide open net. And there were a couple other chances where he was just way out of position. And, you know, credit to the defensemen and the forwards getting sticks on the pucks or blocking shots, whatever it was. Like, it should have been a much bigger, you know, discrepancy in the score than it actually was. But at the end of the day, you know, I even, you know, with time dwindling down, I was like, this feels like a game we're going to lose, like lose it in regulation. It just feels like it, getting vibes back to, you know, the early season, how far we've come from that. And then overtime happens, and overtime was also really stressful and really scary, and, you know, chances at both ends. But I would say Chicago kind of had our number in that overtime. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, overtime was just a terrible exercise for the Lightning. We couldn't ever get possession. It would end in the first 30 seconds, something like that. But, you know, we've had two good stave-offs to get us to the shootout. And then when the shootout finally does come, man, it was a really entertaining shootout. It's, I don't say that very often either. I kind of hate the shootout now. I'm also kind of starting to dislike 3-on-3 overtime with just how it's becoming. But this was a really fun shootout. And I think the best part about it was the poetic justice of Dominic James getting the shootout winner.
Ethan's right there with you.
I swear, yeah. I didn't read it. We talked about this, but yeah, you know, it was just beautiful how, you know, the guy they cut at the end of training camp, and, you know, the Lightning signed him for nothing. I think he was a sixth or a seventh round pick. And, you know, he's just making, you know, quite the name for himself. He's really quickly winning over a lot of people in Tampa. Just great vibes from this kid. Wasn't he a star last week or 2 weeks ago?
I believe we've recently had him on the stars list. Yeah, he's been fantastic. His heart and hustle, you can tell in every single game. And that's specifically what I love about Dominic James. You're 100% right. He gets the game, you and Ethan, he gets the game winner. It feels poetic against your former team. You knew that celebration he had that little bit of extra, I know what this means behind it. So great for him to get that goal and get that the winner. But then, of course, the whole Nikita Kucherov, since you mentioned. Kucherov, you know, opposing fans should know, if you're going to boo anybody else but Nikita Kucherov, because he thrives on the boos. He was shown giggling and just basically he loves it. He was thriving on the boos. And then he goes, of course, and pulls off an unbelievable move and scores the goal and shushes the crowd, which, man, that is just it's a dangerous celebration, because, you know, if Lightning don't end up winning that game, or you don't score, you know, something goes
looks
wrong,
terrible.
It looks terrible. But the Lightning end up winning the game, and Kucherov made a really nice move anyway. So when you do it right, oh boy, Kucherov got a lot of attention for that one, and he did. He shushed the crowd.
It definitely added to my stress levels in this game, which were already spiking, that – okay, bro, you were the second shooter. You could definitely, you know, this could definitely look really, really bad on, you know, the next two shots. Like, we really gotta step up. So I'm glad they did, you know, win it for Cooch and make that such a, you know, a legendary celebration. You know, Kucherov, he doesn't, you know, he's not super, you know, over the top with his celebrations. Like, he's not, you know, like Brandon Hagel, who looks like he just scored the Game 7 triple overtime winner every single
goal. I love that
about
Hagel. Keep doing it.
I do love it, but Cooch's celebrations are always just, they're so peak for how minute they are. Like,
one of his goal celebrations was a shrug. You remember that one?
Yeah, yeah. The stare down against the Seattle fan, what was that last year? And then just the shush, you got to love it. He's so understated with everything he does, and it's so, you know, so great, all these little minor things he does all the time. And the celebrations are just a part of the lore and mystique of Nikita Kucherov.
I love this comment from Lisa here. Cheeky Cooch is the best. Yeah. Cheeky Cooch. That's what it is. Yeah, no, that was fantastic. And I'm glad to hear you say you enjoyed the shootout, Matt, because, you know, I've always been a big fan of the shootout. Don't get me wrong. I love 3-on-3 overtime. But, you know, I continue to wonder if they're going to implement that rule of you can't go back. What is it? I think to the red line is the furthest you can go back.
I think that's what Wayne Gretzky said he wanted to do, which I think I'm in favor of. Like, there should be some sort of I don't know, face off in your end if you go, you know, past the red line or something like that. There, you know, there's a couple different ways to do it, but just maybe extend the offensive zone, something like that. But I don't know. It does need a little bit of love. This year, it's definitely been a little underwhelming for me. And I say this on the show a lot. I was talking to Ethan a couple days ago. I go back and watch the first ever 3-on-3 overtime between the Lightning and the Flyers. I know I've said it on here before, too. I highly, highly recommend you guys go and watch it because it has everything. It has big hits. It has a penalty shot in it. It has great saves. It has, you know, breakaway goals. I'm not going to spoil for that. Pardon?
I was in person for that.
Were you really? Okay. I think you do mention that. And it had to have been 10 times more electric in person than watching it on YouTube. And even still on YouTube, 11 years later, it still gives me goosebumps watching that. So it's kind of sad to see what 3-on-3 has become. But the shootout, again, also falling out of favor with a lot of fans. But in person, the shootout is a lot of fun.
You're absolutely right. And I'm sure they'll make some adjustments. Listen. They know it. Puck possession is the most important thing in 3-on-3 overtime. So they're going to double back and they're going to try to make sure that they have all their ducks in a row. So that's why you may see a rule change. But for now, Lightning taking advantage of it. And they've been winning games in the, with another nice thing, by the way, the Lightning do not have a lot of overtime losses, which, you know, sometimes you may say, well, that hurts a little bit, but they've been winning those games and getting that extra point. So, yeah. That's really nice to see that they've been able to close those out late.
Compared to some of the other teams that they're, you know, jockeying with first in the division and first in the conference for, they don't have many overtime games at all. A lot of their games, most of their games are overtime, or not overtime, regulation wins, which is a huge thing when it comes to, you know, comes to seeding in the standings. Like if you've got, you know, you're tied with whoever, Detroit, you know, at the end of the year for first in the Atlantic, you're going to have an edge on them. I think we've got 3 or 4 more regulation wins than them. Montreal, they're overtime merchants. So it is a good thing that we're not going to so many OTs and shootouts because regulation wins, it's the tiebreaker.
Matt, I know we said we were going to try to stay on the tracks a little bit here, but I do have to go off a little bit. This is kind of breaking news, but it involves a former Lightning player.
I already know what you're talking about.
Is being held out tonight for roster-related reasons. He's not on the ice for the Devils in warm-ups, which I wonder what that usually means. There's a trade coming involving that player, which is Andre Palat. Oh, I mean, that would be pretty crazy. I don't think there's been no rumors of that at all. But boy, would I love Palat to come. I mean, all these rumors about getting the band back together. Why not Palat?
It wouldn't shock me even a little bit. You know, it would have to be 50% retention. Like I love Andre Palat, you know, arguably a top 3 playoff performer in Bolts history. Like who does it better than him? Vazzy and maybe Braden Point or Victor Hedman, but Palat is as clutch as they come, you know, in a Bolts uniform. But in Jersey, he has fallen off hard. He's not liked there, you know, he makes a little too much money, so maybe 50% retention and you get him for like a 7th or something. Like New Jersey wants out of that contract. They want out of Andre Palat. Not a lot of teams would be suitors for him, but man, if you can get him stupid cheap on both ends of the deal, you know, cash and, you know, a late pick or something, or future considerations or something, who really cares? Like just get rid of him. Maybe I would take him, put him on the 3rd or 4th line, and maybe he can, you know, refine core Andre Palat back in Tampa.
Man, that would be, you talked me into it. I'm all in for it. I don't know what the rumors are for him and where he could potentially end up, but he is being out of the lineup. So that usually means there could be a trade coming very soon for former Lightning player Andre Palat.
3-way trade with Nashville and New Jersey. Bring Stamkos back while you're at it.
if that happens, I don't even know what I'll do, but I will cry tears of joy. I would be a very happy person, even if it wasn't technically for the better of the team. But
and quick sidebar. You got to give our flowers to Steven Stamkos. He does catch a little bit of flack on this show, you know, a little bit in jest.
Not from you.
me and Joe will do it, but you got to give him, you know, some credit. He's having a really good season in Nashville right now. I think he's at 25 goals or something. I think he's scored the 2nd most goals in the league since like early December or something like that. So just good to see
points in his last 17 games or something. Oh, like man. That. He's playing really good.
he's, you know, one of those guys that you just hope the best for. Yeah, he's had a couple hat tricks, actually. You know, it's a far cry from where he was last year, scoring on his own open net and giving credit to the opposing goalie for the goal. So I'm just glad to see him, you know, finally, you know, finding his footing in Nashville.
He was absolutely struggling early on, and it is very nice to see him succeeding right now. And Nashville's, you know, making a little bit of a run towards the playoffs, and they're still trying to sneak in there. So there's going to be a lot of fun things at the trade deadline when we have those episodes to talk about all that and what's going to go down. Because there's especially you look at like the Eastern Conference, every team's going to be buying. So who's selling, you know, in these scenarios? And there's going to be a lot of interesting moves. I'm very excited for the trade deadline this year. Also, should I mention real quick too, see, Matt, look at us. We're way off topic already again. There is a roster freeze that's going to go into effect for the Olympics, which are coming up very soon. It's not a full roster freeze where you can't like it is during the holiday break or for Christmas, but there's no trades during the Olympics. Thought I'd throw that out there as well. So maybe that's why some things are happening kind of now. I want to get to Lisa. I see your comment here. We'll get to that here in a moment. I want to finish up these games. We kind of got to go quickly through this one, Matt, because it's the not fun game that
we'll just skip it entirely.
Lightning taking on the Columbus Blue Jackets. This is where that point streak did ultimately come to an end. Lightning lose to the Blue Jackets by a final score of 8-5. This was a weird game, Matt, because the Lightning have been playing so well, obviously with the point streak rolling. It's a back-to-back on the road. Those are always already tough games, and things tend to go haywire against Columbus sometimes, and this one did. It's one of those games that you kind of just say, you know, it happens. Oh, well, and you throw out the tape.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching this one, you know, at dinner, you know, the first two periods of it, and every time I would glance down at my phone, it didn't really look too good. Like, yeah, it was pretty back and forth for, you know, the first, you know, couple periods, it seemed. But all the goals against, you know, as much as you want to point fingers at Jonas Johansson, I've seen a lot of that. Nobody really looked their best. It looked like a lot of guys were getting beat. There were a lot of odd man rushes, you know, 3-on-2s or 1-on-2s, trap game. That it's exactly what it is. And, you know, maybe not even because Columbus, they have been playing pretty good since their head coach got fired. I think I said that last week and kind of put that bad juju into the air. But, man, it was a bummer. Everybody looked a little tired, looked a little rusty. And, yeah, you are on the second half of a back-to-back, but you did have a little gap, you know, before that first game. So you can't really fall back on it. But, you know, even guys that are, you know, defensive staples like J.J. Moser, he wasn't having his best game. Nobody really was. You know, the offense was there. 6 goals, or was it 5 goals? You know, that should win you a game, but at the same time, it's not going to win you every single game, and this wasn't one of them. A couple unfortunate things happened in this game, too. You lost Charles-Édouard Dastu mid-game on a pretty, fluky hit. The Eric Chernak hit, you know, I could see that go either way. I was a little disappointed it wasn't a penalty, like at least 2 minutes or something, and to me, that was kind of pardon?
He got hit from behind. I mean, he hit him right in the numbers, which you can't do. But
you can make the argument that he was turning and whatever. I don't really see it too much. Like, I think it should have been 2, not a 5. And, you know, 30 seconds after that happens, they score a goal. I think that was the biggest turning point in that game. And from then on out, it was kind of out of reach.
The good news is Cernak was okay, and he returned in the Utah Mammoth game. So, you know, it would sting a lot more if he was still out, but he came right back. So that's the good news, at least in that scenario. But, trap game, tough game, throw out the tape. You know, it stings a little bit because you lose the point streak in that game, but these things are going to happen. You're not going to go undefeated for the rest of the season as much as you would like to. By the way, I, of course, was looking at this, so it may be partly my fault, but I was looking at records for point streaks because I get curious about that kind of stuff, and the Lightning were rolling at the time. The Lightning were still a decent way away from that record, so they weren't really that close, but the way they've been playing, man, it kind of feels like they could get pretty darn close to that streak. I believe it's held by the Pittsburgh Penguins for the point streak. It's a pretty big jump. I'm trying to pull it up again because I lost it. But I believe it's held by the Penguins, if I'm not mistaken. I'll try to find that in a little bit though. Anyway, speaking of which, so the Lightning, you know, tough game against Columbus, but the most important thing is how you bounce back, right? Playing the Utah Mammoth, who have been playing extremely good hockey. They are another team that I think they were 8-2, along with the Lightning, were 8-1-1 in their last 10 games. Very good team. Lightning took care of business. This was a really, really good game, fun game to watch. Back and forth, both goalies again, really showing out here. Andre Vasilevsky making some unbelievable saves. Lightning had so many chances in this game, Matt. It felt like it could have been like 3 or 4-0 at some points. I mean, Gensel at one point had a wide open net and his stick broke on him. I mean, nothing was going right for them. And then, but they stick with it. They stuck with it. They didn't let that Columbus game get to them. They kept going, and they eventually do get the game-winning or first goal of the game, which ends up being the game-winning goal. They get the second one to secure it on the both on the power play, and you win this game 2-0. Andre Vasilevsky gets a shutout. Really great stuff for the Bolts.
You said, you know, it could have been 3 or 4-0. I'd argue it could have been, you know, 3-3. I think Utah actually had a really good game themselves, you know, despite a couple weaknesses. But thanks to the guy in net, it ended up being a big goose egg for them. And, you know, our guys, they definitely, you know, it was a good bounce back game for them, you know, with Utah usurping the point streak, you know, record in the NHL after, or not record, but the, you know, the longest point streak after the Lightning's got ended. What a great way to to get some swagger back by ending their point streak. And it was just a really good, you know, defensive game, kind of a coach's dream, but still, you know, a couple chances here and there. And yeah, that Gensel broken stick, that one was a huge bummer. But man, I mean, this was the Vazzy game. It might be, bless you, it might be, you know, the best game Vazzy has played all year. I know he's had a couple other really he's plenty of really good ones, but you know, 30 something save shutout, you gotta love that.
Fantastic stuff from Andre Vazzy. And you're right, Matt. Utah played very well in this game. I'm sure both sides at points were saying, all right, can these goaltenders knock it off? Can we get some goals in here? Because there were a lot of great chances for both sides, but just really nice to see the Lightning stick with it and never got really frustrated in that game and eventually are rewarded. This was another game, by the way, I kind of joked about Hagel and Cirelli stealing goals. Hagel was so close to scoring so many times. And then we thought he scored, and it almost felt like he took it away from Cirelli, but then they gave it back to Cirelli later on, which people were very upset about, by the way. I think there might have been a decent amount of people who bet on Brandon Hagel to score a goal because they weren't happy.
They changed it to Cirelli's goal?
Yes, that goal was credited to Cirelli. Oh, it was not a goal for Brandon Hagel.
God. I didn't even know about that one. Like, we were joking about it earlier on the show or in the pre-broadcast, but, man, I did not know. Wow, they did give it to Cirelli. That's funny. That's really funny. You know, it was one of those, you know, monkey off the back shoulders in such a truncated amount of time. He was like, Hagel deserves a goal in this game. He really does. Did he at least get, you know, an assist on it?
No, he didn't.
Wow, that's crazy. you also mentioned the word frustrated, and you know who was really frustrated this game was our old pal Mikhail Sergachev. He did not have, you know, a great game. He had a couple good chances. Yep.
You're just on it, man. You know all these comments already.
I'm clairvoyant. I swear I'm not reading them. You can see my hands. I'm not pressing the button. But no, the slash against his good buddy Kucherov, that was, you know, it didn't really look like much, but man, Kucherov's acting like he took his hand off. And then at the end of the game, who was he, you know, roughing it up with? Was it Gergensen's? Or I think it was. But yeah, Sergey, that was, you know, one of the most heated I have ever seen him. And, you know, maybe rightfully so, you know, end of the game, you know, Gergensen's, he got himself a good handful of Sergey's head. So it was just really funny to see him that fired up. It's like, man, I really do miss him so, so very much. Utah, you've got a good one in him, and they know it.
No, 100%. And it's funny as well because it's against his former team of teammates that he came so close with. You know, him and Kucherov were best of buds, and Vasilevsky too. So, you know, that was one of the biggest Russian trios with Vasi, Kuch and Sergachev. So unfortunate for him to be frustrated in Utah fans, but you know, it was kind of funny for us, right? Because we ended up getting the good side of that. Lightning get the shutout. They get the big win against Utah. So You know, Matt, overall, really nice week for the Bolts. You get winning at San Jose and Chicago, the one loss to Columbus, but you get right back in the saddle of things and win against the Utah Mammoth, who are a very, very good team as well. So another really, really solid week for the Bolts. All right, let's talk about our three stars of the week here, and there is plenty to pick from with all the goals that were scored in this one, but I think there were some pretty clear-cut picks for this week, Matt. Let's start with our number three star of the week. Again, you know, goals that were taken away. The third star here was almost interchangeable. It depends on who you want to actually give the goals to. So we're going to give the honorable mention here to Brandon Hagel, but the number three star is going to be Anthony Cirelli. He officially ends up here on the week with 3 goals, 4 assists for 7 total points, and was a plus two. Really good stuff from Anthony Cirelli.
What a little thief he is, you know, stealing 2 goals from Brandon Hagel. But at the same time, that thievery is what earned him a spot on Team Canada, because he has such an excellent forecheck. And he had an assist or a good play to, I think it was Nikita Kucherov. And I can't remember which game it was, but it was just a beautiful forecheck, a great stick lift to free the puck up, get it to Brandon Hagel. I think it might have been in that Sharks game to get it to Kucherov. And it was just – He's such a wizard with his, you know, defensive game, you know, forechecking and getting, you know, pucks loose, working in the corners. That's exactly, you know, what Team Canada is going to be looking for. That's why John Cooper, you know, hand selected him for this team, so he can play the exact role on Canada that he does on the Lightning. What a valuable player this guy is. You know, there's a reason why he is part of the core. He hasn't been as expendable as the Yanni Gourdes, the Blake Colemans, and whoever else. You know, he's a, you know, actual, you know, homegrown talent here as well, and he's really, really shutting up the haters. And, you know, again, you were saying it was interchangeable who we could put here, and I think my final argument with Jake was it's a good argument for the Team Canada arguers putting him on the stars list. I know not a whole lot of you know, Torontonians or Montrealers are probably listening to this podcast, but if you are, don't be upset that Anthony Cirelli is going to be on this team. You're going to love him.
Well, and the other thing that doesn't show up on a stat sheet when I mention his numbers is what he does in the penalty kill. I mean, he is of the best penalty killers out there. He is a fantastic two-way forward. So credit to him in that department as well. Yeah, Anthony Cirelli, great stuff from him. He well-deserved third star of the week. By the way, I love this comment here, Ethan. The life lesson here is stealing is good. It's you on the three stars.
Yes.
No, I think the life lesson is that you should always be going to shop.rblarsports.com and using code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Lightning, Rays, Bucks, Rowdy, Sun, team-inspired merch, you name it, we got it. Be sure to go over and check out that awesome merch and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order. Links, as always, are in the description below. You guys get a cool T-shirt. It helps us out. We really do appreciate it. So, all right, number two star of the week. This one, this was a no-brainer too as well, Matt. You know, the guy had 10 points, 2 goals, 8 assists, and was a plus four. It's his stars of the week. Actually, that might be changing when we get to our first star here in a moment. But Nikita Kucherov, second star of the week. He shushed the crowd, and he's shushing everybody again here on the number two spot.
He, you know what, if the theme of the show is stealing, he's stealing back his list. You know, a couple of years ago, it was Nikita Kucherov's three stars of the week, and it seems like, I don't know, the last 5 weeks he's been on it. Always starts the season off a little slow. Last year, there was a lot more, you know, help that he had with a great season from Brandon Hagel and Jake Guentzel's first season here. But, man, he's really starting to re-steal his spotlight back. And 10 points in, what was it, 4 games, something like that? That's just... oh, that's just insane. That's over, you know, 2 points per game and, you know, small sample size. And don't look now, but he's only 8 points back of Nathan MacKinnon, who started the season off, you know, white hot. And again, just a tale as old as time. Nikita Kucherov just spotting MacKinnon in the lead just to take it right back, steal it right back. There we go. We're even back on topic. And just, again, everything he does is so understated, minute. The shootout, not winner, but the shootout goal he has isn't even part of the stats, but he's just automatic on the breakaway now, it seems, too. Kind of, a you know, opposing a couple of years ago where it seemed like he couldn't buy a breakaway goal. Man, what a season he is still having, and I hope he continues to have it.
He's unbelievable. He's such a good player. We are so lucky to be witnessing what Nikita Kucherov can do each and every game. It is so fun to watch. It's unbelievable. It is seriously unbelievable. Kuch is on fire, 100%.
Probably go see a doctor about that.
Matt, I can't.
Joe would have loved it.
Joe would have loved it. He would have. But Kuch is on fire. He's been unbelievably hot, and it's unbelievable to watch. It's absolutely fantastic, and he earns a second star of the week. By the way, I have an update for you on the Andre Palat situation. Sounds like he's going to the New York Islanders.
Oh,
Palat to the New York Islanders, reported by Elliot Friedman not too long ago here. So,
two interdivisional trades for the Islanders in back-to-back days. They just got a Carson Soucy from the Rangers, and now Andre Palat to the Islanders. He might be a good fit there. You know, I don't hope anything good happens to the Islanders. I do hope good things happen for Andre Palat, though. So, a little bit of a interesting situation there.
Full trade not out yet, but Palat sounds like he's going to New York Islanders. All right, back on topic here for the Stars of the Week. Matt, I kind of hinted at this. You know, we've been calling it the Nikita Kucherov three Stars of the Week, obviously, because he's always on here. And you talked about how, you know, we were like, oh, maybe not at the start of the season, but he's been back on it all the time. Well, for the first time, I believe, this season, we have a guy that has earned back-to-back number one Stars of the Week. And boy, did he have an unbelievable week. And that is none other than Andre Vasilevskiy, who gets the first Star of the Week. Listen to these stats. He was 3-0 with a .971 save percentage and a .65 goals against average. He was unbelievable, Vassy, and of course with the shutout as well in that game against Utah. Well deserved first star of the week.
You know, if I just look past my camera right here, I can pretty much have a conversation with Andre Vasilevskiy. No, I don't have a picture of him. It's just a wall. That's all it is. That's what he's been for so great. Very long. I mean, it's vintage Vazzy after, you know, a rough start for the team as a whole. He is just carrying this team, it seems like, almost. You know, he's had a pretty good defense, but at the same time, a pretty lackluster defense at times. And, man, the stats aren't boosted by, you know, good team play, good defense. They are good stats on him. Like I was saying in this Utah game, he saved this team a good number of times. That Columbus game probably looked a lot different without Vasilevskiy. Even in that Chicago game with the very few amount of shots that they did have, he did steal a couple. And in the shootout as well, I would take him in the shootout over any goalie. I'd take him in any situation over any goalie, but specifically in the shootout, he constantly makes all these crazy saves. One interesting thing about the Utah games, that is his second and, you know, back-to-back shutout of the Utah Hockey Club. In two games, he has not allowed a goal against the Utah they're the Mammoth now, sorry. But he's got, you know, 53. He's 53 for 53 in two games against them. So he's got their number pretty good.
That's what a stat that is. How long can he keep it alive? That is pretty darn impressive. I was going to say Vasilevskiy now is the goals against leader in the NHL at 2.07. He's second in save percentage right now at 920. So really good stuff from Vasilevskiy.
Who's ahead of him?
For save percentage, it is Devin Cooley from
So a backup.
So very, very close. Yes.
God, this is going to be another season where he should be and is the clear-cut Vezina winner, and they're going to give it to – well, this guy hasn't won one, so we're probably going to give it to him, like Marc-Andre Fleury, like the Hart with Nathan McKinnon.
Don't get me started on the awards and the sham.
Like the Jack Adams with, who is it, Bruce Boudreau, Barry Trotz. Like, why can't we just be objective about the awards that we have? Another quick little Vasilevskiy stat that I have here is, in his last 10 starts, the Lightning have a 9-0-1 record. During that stretch, he has a .934 save percentage over 10 games. And what a 1.56 goals against average. And in five of his last six games, he's allowed one goal or less.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable is what it is. By the way, this is a guy that came back from back surgery.
People thought he was washed.
Been a while since I've said that.
That is pretty good. That's a good throwback.
By the way, Beverly here says Gord line should have been a star of the week of these weeks. Yes, you're absolutely right, Beverly. There's a lot of guys that could have been on the list this week. You look at some of the stats, and there were like five or six guys that had at least 5 points this week. So there were a lot of people that deserved to be on this list. But ultimately, we decided to go with Anthony Cirelli at number three, Nikita Kucherov at two, and Andre Vasilevskiy as the number one star. Let us know in the comments down below, though. Do you agree? Do you disagree? Who would you have to put on that list? Love to hear from you guys, as always. All right.
Gord himself, he has been playing actually amazing recently. It hasn't really translated to goals and assists, but he has been everywhere, especially in that San Jose game too. I don't know if it's just because you're in person and you see, you know, number 37 just flying up and down, zippy zap, like everywhere, but he has just been involved, doing everything he can, just looking great as well. So hopefully it can translate to some goals and assists, but regardless, he's been playing really good.
Time to look ahead here for the Bolts' upcoming schedule. They're going to have the Winnipeg Jets in town at 7 p.m. Eastern on the 29th at Benchmark International Arena, so staying home. And then, Matt, it's the big one on Sunday, February 1st, 6:30 p.m. Eastern is the projected puck drop time. We know how these things go. It probably won't be 6:30, but that is the Stadium Series game, which we do have some things to talk about. But first and foremost, let's hit this just this Winnipeg game quick, Matt. You know, it kind of stinks up on you because Winnipeg has dropped off a cliff since last year. But, you know, still a game. You want the Lightning to come out and continue to play really well. It's almost like a warm-up game. It can also be a trap game. So you have to be careful before you go into the Stadium Series.
It could be, but hopefully you get, you know, the Winnipeg they've been over the last couple of months, and they just don't show up to play. Hellebuck's not been too good, and just, you know, nothing doing for them. I hope that, you know, like you said, and this will probably come back to bite us, but be a little bit of a warm-up game. You've got no excuse to lose to the, 30th ranked team in the league. So, but obviously, you know, our sights are set towards Sunday. That is the, you know, the big game, of course. Everyone's excited about it. That's what we led with, so... That's really the important one. I would lose that Winnipeg game 0 to 10 if it means we can win that outdoor game. I really would not care what the outcome is. So hopefully they can pull that off.
100% with you, Matt, because we have to be able to say that we're still 2-0 in outdoor games, especially when the Florida Panthers are 0-1. By the way, I just noticed this on the Lightning schedule on their website. It says the sorry, my phone is ringing. I thought I put my stuff on Do Not Disturb, but of course it didn't do it correctly. My apologies. But anyway, on the site, it says it's a neutral site. This game is not a neutral site. If you look on the Lightning's website under schedule, when you go to February 2026, it has a little Stadium Series logo, and in parentheses, it says neutral site.
If that means we don't get to fire the damn cannons, I'm going to be really upset.
I will raise – I'm going to be in the press box for that game, and I will get my press passes taken away if they don't shoot off those cannons. I mean, come on.
I'm filling for Michael, by the way. I'm just saying, like, he's probably out of town, you know.
Here. He's here. Oh. He's going to be there. This is – Yeah, no, I don't know why it says neutral site. That doesn't make any sense. They are going to – they have to shoot off the cannons. That's the bottom line. By the way, speaking of this Stadium Series game, we did get a new look at what it's going to look like. Because, you know, the NHL – I actually really enjoy this. Some people don't, apparently, and I think they're crazy. But the theming for all these games, you know, like in the Nashville game, outdoor game between Predators and the Lightning, they had like a guitar and a guitar pick for Music City in Nashville. It was very, very cool. Here's what it's going to look like at Raymond James Stadium. I think this was unbelievably done. Take a look. Here's Raymond James Stadium all outfitted for the outdoor game. I don't know about you, Matt, but this is fantastic. I absolutely love the way this looks.
No notes. I've got nothing. I mean, it's perfect. Eureka was saying it before the show, but the Bruins logo looking like the Bitcoin logo, it's a little funny, but no, I mean, it is perfect. Leaning into, you know, this is what they did listen to the show about. You know, obviously they didn't get, you know, the complete memo with the jerseys, but lean into the pirate theme, and I'm glad they really did. I don't know if it's a little too kitschy or whatever. I haven't seen many people talk negative about this this layout, but I think it's great. Like the wooden deck, you know, around the rink, and then the map itself, it's so, you know, it might be a little corny, but in the best way. I really do truly love it. It's Gasparilla season. Like, why not lean into it fully? You're in the Buccaneers, the pirate themed stadium. Lean into it, and they did. The little ships or whatever that is on the over to the right there.
There's like a shipwreck with the Boston logo, and the other side's a mast with the Lightning logo on it. I mean, it's so, and I believe to the right, those are going to be like stages for the performers because they're taking out some seats. Which, by the way, this means if they're taking out seats, it's not going to be the highest attended game in Lightning history, which is kind of a bummer. But I'm with you, Matt. I'm very glad they leaned into this pirate theme like we were talking about. And also, again, it's hard to see in this image, but if you go on Twitter, you can see it better. There's like down in the bottom right there next to the Lightning logo, it says Thunderbug Cove. Like there's a lot of funny Easter eggs that they put into this.
That's really cool. No, I mean, it'll probably look even better in person. Like, I'm a huge fan of this. Again, no notes. I even kind of like the player walkout areas there. It looks like a pier or a dock or something.
Oh, yeah, that's probably better. Yeah,
dock. And just completely leaning in. I can't tell. What is that, like, on the top side of the rink there?
In the top right?
No, just like, you know, on the yeah, just the top of the rink. This not the top right, but just behind the benches, I guess, if you will. Here, I got a better picture of it here. It's just that's the shipwreck and the mast and all that.
Yeah, that's the shipwreck up there.
Okay, and the other things are the stages. Okay, gotcha.
Either way, it looks fantastic, and I'm very excited to see it in person. They did a great job. They did a great job. By the way, Beverly says ESPN is broadcasting from the pirate ship. Are they? Because if they are, well done. Wouldn't they?
Yeah.
That as they should. Now I don't want to hear, oh, we didn't shoot the pirate ship off because ESPN was broadcasting there and that would ruin their audio. Absolutely not. Shoot the pirate ship off when the Lightning score a goal. I'm going to keep saying it. They have to do it. By the way, also news, we found out the national anthem singer for this game is going to be Hunter Hayes. So he'll be singing the national anthem. He's kind of a country guy. Again, the NHL's leaned into the country theme here for some reason with the Lightning. I don't know why, but I'm not mad about it.
I don't really know who that is, so I can't really comment on it. I do want to do a quick little tangent here. I was thinking, how great would it be if Gene Deckerhoff called this game, you know, the Bucks radio guy? He might be a complete fish out of water, but man, in one of my fantasies, I would love to have that. It would be just perfect, which also reminds me, we didn't really talk about it. We've got to give him a little bit of credit here. Dave Mishkin calling his 2000th game.
Yes.
We love our radio broadcasters, specifically Dave Mishkin. You know, he is the voice of the Lightning with Rick Peckham gone. You know, I'm sorry, Dave, it's not you just yet, but Dave Mishkin, congratulations to 2,000 games. That is a crazy, crazy number, and he's been here for all of the best moments in Tampa history and been the voice behind it. This place would not be the same without you.
I thought the Lightning did a really good job in honoring him in the video that they did and that they put up during the game as well. So, yeah, congratulations to Dave Mishkin. He's one of my idols. As someone who wants to be a broadcaster myself, Dave Mishkin is one of the best. So congratulations to him on 2,000 games. By the way, Lisa here said Sonya should do the national anthem. Yes, she would be the first choice. Although, if I'm not mistaken, she hasn't been doing – a lot of the Lightning game because I believe she is dealing with something right now. So we wish her the best. But yeah, she should absolutely be the one to ultimately do it for the Lightning if she can and is willing, 100%.
No, I think they should, you know, do a like a pirate quartet or something. I don't know what you got, like a hurdy gurdy and a banjo or something. You know, something that the Pirates would play. Do that.
You know what? That would be pretty funny too. I'm excited, Matt. It's going to be great. And I will say this too. If you, Eureka, our producer just said Sea Shanty Anthem. That would be very entertaining to say the least. If you are still thinking about going to this outdoor game, I highly, highly recommend you to. Even if you're not going to the game, go to the pregame. Check it out. Again, I was fortunate enough to go to the one for when the Lightning played in Nashville. It's such a fun time. It is a once-in-a-lifetime type of experience. I highly, highly, highly recommend it. Because the one issue, by the way, with this image, Matt, I don't know if you noticed it. There's way too much yellow in this rendering. We cannot let that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Plenty of blue in the stands for this game. So go. You will not regret it. It is a ton of fun. So I highly, highly recommend going to this. Oh, and thank you for reminding me, Beverly. Yes, dress warm. I'm actually really excited about this. Lisa said too. Great weather for the game. You know, Florida got a lot of hate because of the weather and, you know, warm weather states can't be done here in Tampa. The weather is actually going to be quite chilly for this game. Current projected, let's take a look because it's changed. It's been changing a lot since we saw it a couple of days away. But the current projected temperature for this game at puck drop, which is supposed to be about 6:30. By the way, really cool stuff that they have done with building the tent and the ice cooling thing to keep the ice cool leading up to the event, but they're probably not going to need it that much on the day of the game. It is supposed to be 43 degrees at puck drop. For Tampa, are you kidding me? They could not have picked a better date.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's going to be cold. Like, if I go, I'm going to have like three jackets on and like snow pants. Like, I don't do the cold very well. And, you know, I hope everyone else dresses like that. I hope, you know, if, you know, these Boston fans come down, of course, somebody's going to be in shorts and a tank top or something, Patriots hat. Like, they're just going to look like a total Bostonite. I'm not going to use the other term for them, but make it look cold to shut these traditional market people up. Like, make it, it will be cold objectively. So make it look cold. 40, so it makes, so it looks degrees. Like we fit. Yeah.
Yes. You're 100% right. 43 degrees is a great temperature for this game. And I'm very, very excited that it's going to be that cold. It just goes again to show you that Tampa knows how to do it right. It's going to be a fantastic event. We'll be covering it, of course, as well after the fact, recapping it all for you guys. I know I will be in attendance. Matt, hopefully you're going to be there too. I know it's going to work out for you. You're going to be able to find a ticket. You're going to be able to get there. It's a ton of fun and a great time. So, but guys, I think that's going to do it for us in this episode. Thank you so much to everybody for tuning in once again. But with that said, we'll talk to you guys in the next one. Go Bolts and happy Gasparilla.
And fire the cannons.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.